You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. The contract covering nearly 150,000 hourly workers at General Motors, Ford, and Fiat Chrysler is up at the end of next week, September 14th. Today, the UAW announced it has chosen General Motors to be the first in contract talks and set the template for subsequent bargaining at Ford and FCA. And the backdrop to this year's bargaining, the ongoing federal corruption probe into the UAW, including the recent FBI raids on the Canton home of the current president and the California home of his predecessor. Let's talk about this now as we welcome Mike Martinez, a reporter with Automotive News. Mike, the UAW negotiates this new national contract every 4 years. Explain why these talks are so important.
Well, these talks are important because they're shaping the benefits and the pay scale for hundreds of thousands of members across the country, and many of them in Michigan. They set their wages, and they set the terms of investment that Ford, GM, and Chrysler will be making at their plants throughout the country.
So the ripple effect is sizable.
Very much so, yes.
So the current contract is up September 14th, and this contract was reached without a strike. We heard from the UAW today that the rank and file at all three automakers have authorized a strike. Just explain that for us. It's done every bargaining cycle, isn't it?
Correct. It's more of a procedural move. You really shouldn't read too much into it. Every 4 years, they have what's called the strike authorization vote, and it always is overwhelmingly approved with a 96, 97, 98% margin, but it essentially allows the union to strike at any of the automakers in case negotiations go south.
So saying that, how would you describe the mood of the rank and file heading into negotiations?
This is going to be tough. It really is, and we'll talk about the corruption probe mm-hmm. in a second that's sort of clouding these talks, but aside from that, many analysts believe we're about to enter into a downturn, or at the very least, they believe that the next 4 years won't be as economically positive as the past 4 years. So if you're Ford, if you're GM or Fiat Chrysler, you're looking at that and saying, we need to control the costs that we can control right now in the event of a recession, so we're going to try to limit some of the benefits that we send to our members, some of the investment that we try to make, some of the health care options that we give them, because we need to control our costs best we can. The members, on the other hand, want all of those things, right? They want raises. They want protections for health care. They want protections if they're temporary workers. And their thought is, we sacrificed for all of you in the last recession when two of the three Detroit automakers went bankrupt, and now is our time to win back some of those concessions because you've been very profitable the past few years.
And today we learned the union is going to begin bargaining with GM. Was this a surprise, Mike?
In a certain sense, it was a surprise, although honestly, it was a toss-up whoever they would have selected. It probably wasn't going to be Fiat Chrysler just because of the implications with the corruption scandal and the fact that they went first 4 years ago. But it was really a toss-up between GM and Ford. And the thinking is that the union is picking its toughest battle first with GM.
And because certainly the high-profile GM plant closings and the, air quotes here, the unallocations play a big part in that, don't they?
That's exactly it. Yeah, last November, GM said they were unallocating five assembly plants in North America, four in the U.S. Essentially, you know, they're playing around with words here. It's all semantics, but they didn't give them any product, so the plants are essentially idled. They're trying to rein in costs again, you know, with a recession possibly looming, and they're trying to address some capacity issues that they have in North America, but it's affecting thousands of workers. And of course, the union will not like if those plants were to eventually close or if they were not to get any more product, so they're going to fight to keep that open. And aside from the unallocation, GM has a lot of challenges as well. They have the highest labor costs at about $63 per worker. That includes benefits. As a result, they have the highest gap between themselves and the transplant automakers, which is something that all of the Detroit Three are trying to lessen.
And then let's talk about the corruption probe. We've already seen 9 people charged and 8 guilty pleas because of the probe that was digging into the FCA department. But then let's talk about last week's raids, including at the home of Union President Gary Jones and his predecessor, Dennis Williams. What do we know about what triggered those raids?
Well, the Detroit News has honestly led a lot of the coverage on this, so you have to give a hat tip to them. But they've reported that the feds are looking into whether Gary Jones has improperly spent money. They're looking into his now defunct charity, and they're checking to see if he improperly spent member dues on, you know, trips to California, you know, lavish gifts, things of that nature.
So tell us about Monday's annual Labor Day March in Detroit. What happened during that event? Were there protesters?
There were protesters, a small amount, about 15 to 20 or so, and they were protesting the corruption. It's interesting because Labor Day, especially during a contract year, the Labor Day parade is really seen as a kickoff to the talks becoming more and more serious. 4 years ago, Dennis Williams, the president at the time, gave a rousing speech and tried to unite the members. And this year, it was way more subdued, and you have to think that's because of this corruption scandal. Gary Jones was there, you know, just days after the FBI had raided his house. He's marching along Michigan Avenue. He declined to comment. He wouldn't address the media. Some protesters were marching along with him. He no doubt saw them and heard them. But he sort of pulled off about halfway through the parade and went to other events, according to a spokesperson. So there were no formal remarks, no real show of leadership, quite honestly. It was a unique scene.
And what do you feel that this corruption probe is doing for those folks who are on the line in the plant, for the rank and file's trust in their union leadership?
It's affecting it pretty drastically. And you have to keep in mind now that no charges have been filed against Gary Jones or Dennis Williams, so there's no crime as of now. But just the fact that the FBI is looking into the sitting president and the immediate past president, it doesn't do anything good for morale in the plants. You know, even when times are good and the union, the UAW, you know, is squeaky clean, you could argue that there's no corruption issues. The membership always, you know, unjustly maybe thinks that, you know, oh, they're in bed with the automakers. They're selling us out, rightly or wrongly. And it's interesting because some of those worst fears that they've had in the past are coming true. To a certain extent.
Yeah, the headlines coming one after another and the probe have been, I'm sure, attention-grabbing for folks who are working in the plant. So here we have the union has authorized a strike, and it has chosen General Motors to go first in contract talks. So break down what comes next, Mike. When does the opening handshake across the bargaining table happen and the talks begin?
Well, the ceremonial handshakes happened back in July to sort of officially kick off bargaining, but things really heat up now. Now that GM has been selected, they will get down to the nitty-gritty and really try to hammer out a new four-year contract before the contract expires on September 14th. We're likely not going to see an agreement before then, because if you're the union, you want to spend every last second trying to fight for more benefits and more investment from the automakers. So it will most likely go right up to the deadline, if not past the deadline. You'll oftentimes see the union extend the contract for a couple days or a week as they try to hammer out a new deal.
And that's certainly a sign of how well things are going if they're willing to extend.
To a certain extent, yeah, they believe they can get something done, so they will extend the contract so there are no immediate strikes.
Mike Martinez, Automotive News. Thank you so much, Mike.
Thank you.